Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
We're back for another episode of Millionaire Mindcast, and this week I got a young hustler for you guys, Manu, aka Swish Goswami. He is already a 20-year-old TEDx speaker, has had a seven-figure exit in one of his first companies. He's doing businesses with NBA players, and it's really cool. His passion, which is sports, which is tech, which is lifestyle design, is ultimately aligned with the businesses that he's in and profiting from. So just an overall great conversation from a young millennial entrepreneur who is leveraging a lot of the tools and trends that are out there right now to create profitable businesses, but to do it in a way that it's aligned with his core values and aligned with his passions. And I always love hearing this because I know younger, you know, professionals, younger millennials, younger generations are all about passion and impact and influence, and to be able to kind of package all of those things up and put them into a profitable, you know, space and a profitable trajectory. Swish is one of those people that has been able to do this very flawlessly. So excited to introduce you guys to him. He is very well versed in the LinkedIn space, which is not common for kind of the younger crowd, being that LinkedIn is more known for being this professional platform. But we dive into a lot of stuff in regards to, you know, just overall business, his mindset, some of the things that the younger generations are paying attention to. And there's things that you're going to be able to pick up in here. I had a page worth of notes in regards to some of the little just tweaks that I wanted to add to my routine, maybe try some of the things that he was trying out. So you guys are going to enjoy this episode. For those that are just tuning into the podcast for the very first time, I want to offer you guys the How to Find a Mentor guide. You can get all kinds of free guides and downloads on my website, matthatchison.com. But if you want the How to Find a Mentor guide, being that mentors are so critical today, for basically every single person that I've interviewed on the show has had a mentor and had multiple mentors in the spaces that they wanted to improve, accelerate their learning in, achieve more in, and avoid the mistakes that they were probably making or would be making otherwise by not having a mentor. So if you want the five-step guide, all you got to do is text the word mentors to 44222. If you're international, just go to matthatchison.com. You can download that guide for free. If you are not subscribed to the podcast yet, be sure to subscribe. Please leave a review. This is how we continue to get this free value out to other individuals like yourself. One thing could change someone's life that is said in one of these shows, and we want to reach as many people as we possibly can and do it for free. I mean, that's the beauty of it. So by leaving a review in iTunes, it helps us rank higher and helps us reach more people organically. All right, so with that being said, let's dive into today's interview with my man, Swish Manu Goswami. Ooh, I'm excited for our guest today on the Millionaire Mindcast, welcoming in Mr. Manu, aka Swish, which you'll learn why, Goswami, into the Millionaire Mindcast show today. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's going to be really fun. I can feel it already.
The energy is high. I'm actually pretty fired up, being that you know, basketball is an area, it's just been a hobby of mine, really, that has been something I've always been passionate about, you know, playing at a young age to, you know, getting involved in the high school and the college level and just watching, being a fan. And if anybody's a sports fan today, interested in sports and entrepreneurship, this is going to be a fire episode. So we're going to dive into that. But for the people that don't know who the heck this 20-year-old kid is, you know, wearing his black hat, hanging out in Toronto right now for the moment, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Where are you from? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, for the 99.9% of people who probably don't know who I am. I'm Swish. So that's like a nickname I got mainly playing basketball in my childhood. I was brought up in Singapore, which is a beautiful country. I'm going back there actually to see my dad after about 2 years. Haven't seen my dad, which is pretty ridiculous. and going back and I moved from Singapore to Calgary, Canada, which is a really small place in Canada, but a beautiful place again. I moved there when I was 9 years old. I just dabbled in a ton of shit when I was younger. Like, I was a dancer. I wrote my own comic books. I debated. I played basketball. I was boxing. I was doing karate. I'm a black belt as well. So, like, I just put myself in every situation possible. And that's also because my parents wanted me to go out and try to find whatever I love to do and do it at a high level. They're like, you know, do whatever you want, but eventually you do it at a high level and you'll be happy.
Right.
And that's the greatest advice I think they've ever given to me, really. But I went through and at the age of 10, built out a company called High Tech Avionics with my dad. We built hovercrafts from our garage. So we basically took remote controlled rechargeable helicopters and we retrofitted it. So took off the styrofoam base, kept the rotor and the motor, and then put a new styrofoam base around it. And we were able to build things that like went up literally 1 or 2 inches, but kids around the neighborhood loved it. And we sold our first and our only hovercraft for $200. Took about 3 months to build. Using that $200, I went and I bought the Nintendo DS with the Super Mario Bros. Expansion pack, and I was done. Like, my entrepreneurial career ended for 4 years. And then I think around the age of like 15, I went to a program called Junior Achievement, which a lot of Canadians would know. It's a high school incubator, so I was kind of 2 years younger than everyone else. But, you know, at the same time, I was the CEO for a custom lapels pins company. Did really well there. We won Alberta's Company of the Year, got nominated for Canada's Company of the Year. Did not sadly get that, but there's a lot of good press, a lot of good recognition, great network that I was able to tap into after that program. And that spurred me. I think I got bit by the entrepreneurial bug after that. So 16, kind of realized probably not going to make the MBA. God did not see that coming for me. You know, I'm not tall. I'm not that big. I actually grew pretty tall when I was 18, but still really lanky. And so I probably should find another way to impact the game. And so I started a couple of nonprofits to gain more experience on my own with entrepreneurship. Then in first year, got DM'd by a basketball player called Trevor Booker. He basically was like, hey man, like play for the Brooklyn Nets. Heard a lot about you. Would love to be able to meet up when I come to play the Raptors. I was like, yeah, fuck yes, please. I guess we're going to meet anywhere. I will meet you at the airport if you need as well. We met and I just told him everything and he loved my passion, charisma, whatever you want to call it, for entrepreneurship, for building things, for coming up with new ideas. And we vibed and he was like, if you come up with an idea for professional sports, I'll back it. So it took me about a month to come up with an idea that I thought I genuinely could build out with my high school debate partner, Arjun, who's at the University of Pennsylvania. We built out basically a software that could connect an augmented reality headset that a coach or trainer was wearing to wearable trackers that players wear. So we were the only software at its time that could connect more than 4 trackers to 1 augmented reality headset so that a coach or trainer could see their players' biometrics all in real time. While they're moving on the court, they can gauge balance, torsion, heartbeat per minute, all of those basic vitals to be able to pull them out, optimize rest time, potentially predict injuries. So we built that out. We licensed out the tool in New York. And so I was able to move down there. Was able to get off that project because that was now the property of somebody else's, and was able to move from that experience and not only, you know, be self-sufficient in New York, but be able to put myself in a number of situations. I started growing a following on LinkedIn, started working part-time for Trevor's venture capital firm, did a lot of speaking under the National Speakers Bureau, always thinking about what my next idea would be when I thought of Dunk. And that was only because my roommate was Elliot Robinson, who started an account on Instagram called Dunk, D-U-N-K, in 2013. He was working at the time for Gary Vaynerchuk as his head of social strategy, helped Gary go from like 600,000 likes to 1.2 million in under a year, which is crazy.
Right.
2.2 million, sorry, not 1.2, 2.2. So pretty freaking amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah, this kid is unreal. And so, you know, he was actually 3 months younger than I was. I was a bit bitter about that, but whatever. We went together, started out this company.
So you're a little bit competitive, I'm going to say.
Oh, very. About age, especially. But anyways, like we took that, the entire premise of Dunk is we have a number of basketball accounts on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, around 10 million followers overall. The flagship account of Your Basketball Lover is at D-U-N-K on Instagram. That's my only plug I'm going to make in the entire show, I promise. But we wanted to convert that media network, the following we had, into a full-fledged company, working with brands, consulting with NBA teams and players. And now what I'm doing is building up 2 tools that I'll talk about later in the show. But I'm really, really excited for being able to be in a position where I can do what I love, don't have anyone like behind me, you know, talking about going to school or whatever. And more importantly, just being in a really supportive environment in front of people like you guys who give me the time to be able to share my story. So really, really happy to be here.
Well, we're excited that you're sharing, man. And it's an interesting one. It's an exciting one. And you're just getting started, dude. And, you know, talking about Dunk. Now, you guys, I want to help the audience kind of wrap their heads around what that entailed, how you went from basically taking an account from zero to, you guys took it to 2.2 million followers, and then you guys were able to, was that the company that you exited?
No, so that was Technotronics is the one that I was able to license. But this Dunk is like something I came on board about 2 months ago.
Nice. And you were, your Technotronics, you were how old at the time?
I was 19.
At the 19. Yeah. Then you guys licensed it out, you know, an undisclosable amount, but a seven-figure payout for the buyout and the licensing agreement that you guys had. And then it was off to the races at 19 years old, moving out to New York City. Did you go out there with a plan and an idea of what you were going out there to accomplish? Or was it like, hey, this is the land of opportunity and I'm just going to, you know, jump off the ledge and build my plane as I head out there?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, it was more of just having a learning year. Like, I felt like I was becoming very complacent with myself, and I didn't feel like I was learning at the same degree I was when I was 17, 18. And so I just wanted to go put myself in the most uncomfortable position I possibly could, which is, of course, New York City, because it's such a big city. Everybody's doing such cool shit. And it's a really hard place to move to because, you know, it just changes your mindset. People move really quickly there. You got to hustle, hustle, hustle your face off. And so I put myself in that situation just to be able to learn, to be able to, you know, I guess, rekindle the fire in me and the hunger in me to be able to see that, oh shit, you know, you might have had, you know, some great successes in the past, but that's definitely not where your threshold is. Like, look at X, Y, and Z amount of people around you who are doing shit at a much, much higher level.
So I love the fact that, you know, for most 19-year-olds, they'd get an exit and go, I made it. I'm out of here. Yeah. Let's go live that laptop lifestyle on some, you know, ocean or beachside. Yeah. And you were like, hey, that's great. What's next?
Yeah.
Has that always been a mindset and a mentality? Is it something that you've just kind of developed over time as you started hanging around higher achievers? Or has it been something from day one where you're just like, I want to keep growing. I want to be the best. I want to keep raising the bar.
Yeah. I mean, I have a brother who is 4.5 years older than me. And when I was younger, basically did everything faster and better than I did. So you could say that my competitive history kind of came from there. Also growing up in Singapore, it's probably the most competitive cutthroat place in the world. Like, wow. They legitimately track you academically, even when you're in kindergarten. It's ridiculous. Like, you'll be either in the really smart lane or like the gifted lane, quote unquote, or like the we need to work on you lane.
Which lane were you in?
I was normally in the gifted lane. I was in between. I wasn't a bad student, I think, until university. In university, I kind of, you know, my grades started slipping because I honestly didn't really care too much about school. But like, even then, like, I always retained above a 3.5. It was just like, you know, compared to high school and junior high when I was doing really well, my parents started to get a bit worried. And that's honestly why, like, that, you know, exit and being able to get some money for myself through it was such a great indication to my parents of like, okay, maybe the kid actually knows what he's doing.
So you headed out to New York City. You already had some of these relationships that were starting to unfold a little bit. Take us through the time from when you moved out there to now, because you've covered a ton of ground. You're up to some super exciting things. You're building some insane tech that is tied into the digital space, the social media space. And, you know, it's always, I think, important for people to get you're one of the younger guests on the show. It's important for people to get an idea of what the upcoming generations are working on and what we're focusing our time and energy on. So tell us a little bit about what that journey has looked like since getting into New York City and, you know, where it's kind of led you to what you're working on right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, twofold. One is definitely from a personal side of things. I've developed as a person dramatically. I mean, look, even when I was in university, I moved out from Calgary to Toronto. My brother lives in Toronto, which kind of helped because he was more of like that mentor and I could always ask him for help or like, how do you freaking do the laundry or whatever? Like dumb questions like that I can ask him. But then when I moved out to New York, like though I knew a couple of people there, I really was all by myself. Like I didn't have somebody who was going to go out of their way to help me off the bat. You know, and so I had to like really figure out like, all right, Swish, like from a health perspective, how do you remain healthy? How do you make sure that, you know, your life, like your work-life balance is retained? How do you make sure that you're spending enough time with your friends, but also leaving enough time for yourself to be able to do your projects? You know, like all of those questions I had to grapple with, I had to deal with like head on when I moved to New York by myself. And so
what was your measuring stick, right? Because like, you know, you for 20 years old, I would say you're wise beyond your years. And a lot of people, you know, would probably agree with that and say, well, what are you measuring life balance against? What are you measuring your definition of health against? What are you measuring, right? So how, what were you measuring against at that point in time?
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't losing out on my years as being a 19, 20, 21 year old. I think the big thing is like my mom, the one thing that she did tell me is like, look, you know, you can go out, but just make sure you're not working like a horse, you know, make sure that you also spend time for yourself. These are the years that are never going to come back in life. And I'm like, mom, that's like every year. I'm kidding. That's just the truth. You know, like I agree with that. You know, I want to live that 20 year old life. I mean, 2 months ago, I went to a basketball game in Syracuse with one of my advisors and like, we were sitting near front row and like, I just saw the college vibe around me and I missed it immediately. You know, like I was like, oh, fuck, like imagine if I was a college student right now. But of course, I prefer this lifestyle. But like, I still want to be that kid. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't putting myself into a situation where I was growing up way too early.
Yeah.
And then from a professional aspect, I just wanted to do things that I liked. Like I cut down on so much. Trust me, like you can go through my LinkedIn profile. You can link it up if you'd like as well. Go through the past shit I've done. Like I was going and trying everything. Like, and there were at least 80% of it that didn't work out. That like, I would never even want to talk about again because I was like, oh, that's an embarrassing story.
So you were testing, you were testing.
Testing all the time, but I was testing not if the idea would work out and make me money, but whether I was actually happy doing it and whether I could see it as being my quote unquote life's work. And so I knew eventually when I moved out to New York that my life's work will likely be around sports and tech. That's kind of where I see that. I definitely have political ambitions and ambitions in the entertainment space down the road. But right now, in terms of my bread and butter, I know that sports is what gets me up and business and tech is what basically pushes my mind towards the level of being really, really curious. And so I wanted to do things that combine the two. I then started really trying to like put myself in that situation where I surrounded myself with people who were similar and who also had that same interest.
So how'd you do that though? Because you went into a new city with no network, right?
Well, to one or two people, yeah.
One or two people in what, a 7 million person city. So, but for a lot of people, right, who are maybe entering a new space or entering a new journey or walking through a new door, what do you tell them in regards to connection and relationship building, purposeful connections and relationship building?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing I could say is you're probably going to be alone if you sit. You know, for me, that's what I was told early on too, which is don't sit, keep moving, stand up, go like to an event, you know, go introduce yourself, be shameless in the way that you're trying to do it. You know, you're Canadian. You can always make that, hey, I just came from Canada joke. People will laugh.
You got me. See, you got me with it.
So, I mean, the big thing for me is just not being uncomfortable, you know, like I think the one thing that I've been taught early on too, despite I know maybe how long that bio was initially, is I try to be very humble and I try to be very, you know, considerate of like, I know that I'm not the smartest person in the room. I know I'm probably not the person that has the, you know, biggest vision even sometimes, but I know that I'm one of the top 1% people when it comes to hard work. Like when it comes to actually putting in a lot of work, I generally know I'm up there, which means that I know that I can talk to people who are far more successful than me because I can connect with them on that level. I can connect with them on the level of, hey, I also know what it feels like moving really, really quickly in life because, you know, 5 months ago I was in Canada not knowing what the hell I was doing with my college degree, having this side project that eventually turned into a ticket to New York. And I had to move quick in order to make that all happen for myself. So I know I can connect with them on there. And that's why I continuously put myself in uncomfortable situations. I'll get on those 5 minute calls with people on LinkedIn who are in New York. You never know when 1 5 minute call ends up being a 15 minute call with the person you really, really wanted to meet. And you know, that's happened with me time and time again that I just don't ignore it anymore.
It's funny because I'm a big believer in you're only one conversation, relationship, or experience away from completely changing your whole life. And you just mentioned some of those conversations and what they've turned into. Same kind of thing. I think we can all relate, or any successful person can relate to a relationship, a chat, you know, an experience, a dinner, whatever it may be that you're like, yep, that was the dinner where we inked that deal or we talked about this or ended up going on this trip or had this major breakthrough. And so, you know, but you got to be aware enough to, you know, show up into those moments and capture and take those moments and turn them into that opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like for how busy you are, you have a pretty balanced life and a pretty balanced routine. What does your daily routine look like?
Yeah, I mean, morning is normally is just going through email, going through social media, making sure that I'm staying on top of any inquiry coming my way. I love doing team meetings in the morning as well. Team meetings in the morning just, you know, make sense for me. I know that I can wake people up if they're sleepy. And then if they're already ready to go, that's good. In the afternoon, I tend to want to go out and do external meetings. I love going out and, you know, after I've spoken to my team, after I have a clear direction of like, all right, this is all the correspondence. This is everything that I need to know for that day. I now feel comfortable going out and talking about the company and pitching it and meeting advisors and meeting potential investors, meeting potential team members, doing all of that stuff in the afternoon. And then the evening really is like kind of normally a dinner. Or like a go out, do something type of thing, like a bowling or a club or something like that. Especially now, I think I'm doing it mainly with people from work or people who could help my business. But, you know, there are also days where I just spend time with my friends. You know, in New York, especially, I've become friends with a lot of YouTubers, Instagrammers, people that I love being around because they're so creative and they push you to also do the same. And so I like hanging out with people generally who are motivated, who are making things happen for themselves, who will remind me that when I go to bed, I got to remember to beat that guy who I played bowling against, not in the bowling, but in the game of life. And so I can wake up the next day and have some edge on me.
I love it. So you're continuously surrounding yourself with people who have very high standards, have set the bar extremely high, and giving you an opportunity to keep not only hitting that bar, but going over and raising that bar yourself. I'm curious, what influencers or, you know, YouTubers, Instagrammers are, do you like following today that keep you thinking big, that inspire you either through their creativity or through their causes that they support or their content that they're putting out?
Yeah, I mean, so I generally don't, I don't watch too much YouTube. I watch a lot of funny videos like Aussie Man, and like, I look up like memes a lot on Reddit. That's kind of my like relaxing time. But in terms of like people who influence me, I mean, the three off the bat will be one, Gary Vaynerchuk for sure. I mean, that meeting that I had with him, there's a meeting actually, everyone can search up Gary Vaynerchuk meets Young Fan.
And that's you?
Yeah, that's me 2 years ago. You know, I met him in his office before I went for a UN event. And like, yeah, that meeting kind of changed my life, because to my face, my first question was, all right, if I don't feel comfortable with what I'm doing, and like there are times where I don't want to get out of bed, like, what do you suggest I should do? His blatant response was, you're probably not doing what you love. And I was like, fuck, that's probably true. Like, you know, like that's probably why I can't get up for 9 a.m. classes all the time, you know, because I'm just not interested. My mind isn't buzzing when I wake up from that alarm clock. The second person would be Michael Hyatt. He's taught me everything about how to live a minimal life. Michael Hyatt is a Toronto guy, though. I know there's another Michael Hyatt who's super influential, but my Michael Hyatt is the CEO of Blue Cat Networks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he sold his company for $400 million like 2 months ago. Kind of a low-key guy, but he's on the Canadian equivalent for Shark Tank called Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
So that's his call to fame now in terms of like speaking and doing that from more of a public figure perspective. And then the final person would be Trevor, right? Trevor is like, you know, he's running a business on the side. He's doing a lot of endorsements and trying to help his community while being a full-time basketball player. So I'm like, if your calendar, you know, if you can go through your calendar and you can survive and put a smile on your face, I easily can do that as well. So those three people. And then, you know, there's so many throughout as well. Like they're little, like even my friends, you know, it like influenced me. I love them. But at the same time, I think those three are like up there in terms of the biggest lessons I've learned.
I love it. So as you continue to kind of grow and work on some of the things that you have going on right now, tell us a little bit about what today looks like in regards to some of the projects and things that you guys are looking to take to that next level. Because I'm pretty excited about some of the stuff you guys are working on.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now I'm managing two tech products. So one is called Ballin, which hopefully will come out near the end of this coming year, so 2018. We want to launch it by the start of the new NBA season. The entire idea for Ballin is a subscription model for people who otherwise can't afford or engage with basketball experiences. So, you know, not everyone can go to a really high quality gym. Not everyone can go to a basketball game. Not everyone can meet an influencer or a player even throughout their life.
Right.
I want to be able to give them all of that, like, you know, basically create a concierge service for people who otherwise couldn't afford or engage with basketball experiences. They pay a subscription fee similar to like ClassPass or some fitness model like that. The second is something that will be coming out in the next 2 to 3 months, a lot more immediate, which is called Superfan. I am so freaking pumped for this because I wish I had it when I was younger. And I know that there are a lot of influencers I know that would also like love to have something like this. A ton of influencers cannot respond to every DM they get. A ton of influencers get a shitload of comments every single post they make. And yet a lot of influencers also have super fans, people who are like diehard for them, who literally bleed their name. And so in order for them to be able to engage with their super fans, I want them to be able to go on a simple app that we call Superfan. You basically swipe right to be able to see your top fans, either the most passionate ones or the most influential fans. And you can reach out to them with a simple, you know, photo, video, or an audio message, and just, you know, show your love and appreciation for them.
I think that is such a brilliant idea, especially in the, you know, in the world that we live in today, in regards to just connection. Oftentimes, yeah. You know, people are putting more emotional connection into their social media communities, yeah, and their, you know, their platforms that they identify with. And so to give people another outlet to connect with the people who have made the biggest impact on them, I think is such a cool idea. And how are you guys rolling this out? What's kind of the strategy behind it?
I mean, we're going to be doing an influencer campaign for sure. We're going to be going to almost every college campus in the United States and Canada. I kid you not. We're going to go to every college campus.
Physically almost. On site.
Physically on site. Maybe I won't be there on every
right,
single
but, one. But the brand.
Yeah, brand will. We're going to get college students to hold up posters. They're going to be like talking about it. We're going to give away merch like stickers and caps. We're going to do a campus ambassador program, which will feed into the influencer campaign. And then near launch, I have a couple of cool people, notable people who have a following of themselves. We're talking about like the Gary Vee, Casey Neistat types who yep. will hopefully comment on this and will give it some exposure before it goes on to the iOS Android market, which I'm looking forward to.
That's awesome, man. And obviously we both know the power behind influencers now, right? Instead of, you know, the Super Bowl commercial for $1 million getting bought up by, you know, Chevrolet, they're going to the influencers who have the audience that they want to get in front of. And, yeah. And this targeted focus on getting in front of the right people with the right message. So I'm curious, you know, for the people that want to grow their exposure, their reach in the social media space, what are some of the, you know, the best tips or practices that you could share with them, even for somebody who's got a really small audience or community?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so for me, I have my main audience and following on LinkedIn, which kind of feeds into my first piece of advice, which is don't necessarily go to the platforms everybody's going on. Like, find one that natively will reflect your skill. For me, that's writing. So I could either go on to Medium, which I don't think anyone really cares about anymore, in my opinion, or I could go on to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is where I can post articles, I can share daily posts, I can talk about my life, I can talk about my industry, I can talk about other people and share their stories as well, right? And do that in a persuasive manner. But if your shit is video, for example, maybe Snapchat, Instagram, if your thing is a blend between, you know, more of like the video and the photos and writing, Facebook probably is where you want to go. So don't just go because your friends are going somewhere. You know, try as much as possible to carve out a place where you think you can really make an impact because you think that your skill, whatever it may be, audiovisual writing, is at the top. It's like the 1%. Other than that, you know, if you don't want to speak out yourself initially, I know a lot of people are like, wait, what would I talk about? Like, I don't know what I would talk about. Well, right. Talk about somebody else, you know, share their opinion, you know, go and like interview your closest three friends who are really successful, or go and interview your mentor, or go and interview a person that you want to go and get a coffee with, right? The number one advice I give to younger people is to start a podcast or an interview series, because it is such a brilliant freaking idea. Not only do you get to put out content on the daily, but you can actually go and network through it. You can meet some fantastic people, build a good relationship that's more than just, will you come to a 5-minute coffee with me or a 10-minute coffee? You're providing them upfront value off the bat. Yep. So that's my piece of advice when it comes to content, figuring out a platform that's right for you, and then hopefully going about doing some strategy work to be able to amplify your message.
Brilliant. You know, it's interesting because most, at least, and this could be me projecting a belief, but you don't hear many millennials talk about LinkedIn as being their platform of choice. But I love the fact that you said, hey, it's not necessarily about, you know, where I see or think or hear everybody's at. It's where I think my skill set is best aligned in order to get my message out to the people that I want to connect with.
Yeah, 100%.
So as you guys now are starting to roll out Superfan and Ballin', what are some of the goals for it? Like, what is the vision for what you guys see this, you know, this tech tool being able to do and help people accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, so definitely for Superfan, it's being able to first off start off in a very exclusive way. So we don't want to give it out to the world immediately. We want to give it to select people who are coming on to our management consulting agency, because we want to start something on the side as well, right? While the tools are being built, we're trying to do a management agency where we're trying to help players not only manage their day-to-day contracts, stuff like that, but also do their social media for them and help them with speaking. So we're kind of like giving a bigger value add, and we're being like a next generation type of management agency there. So we definitely want to feed back and like help Superfan help those clients first. But I think the long-term vision for Ballin' and Superfan is virality. Like, we have 10 million followers through Dunk. We can partner with them. We can amplify our message to basketball lovers. And I really think, especially for Superfan, the benefit of it is not just within sports. It's within any field that has people of influence, which would be politics, business, you know, sports, entertainment, anything like that. You can go in and you can target that industry and people within it by saying, hey, I'd love to meet you, but first, in order to build our relationship, quote unquote, why don't you use my tool for free?
That's awesome, dude. And it's so interesting because now it's not just celebrities or, you know, athletes that are creating a brand for themselves. It's politicians. It's people like you and I. It's the entrepreneur. It's anybody. And everybody should have a brand and a message to share. And obviously, there's so many different ways now with the digital marketing and media space that you can turn those into, you know, monetary and income streams for yourself. And so I love the fact that you guys are doing that. And I'm curious to know what you see kind of being the ingredients for, you know, virality or for influence in today's current market with how noisy of a space it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a couple of things. There's no one, you know, thing that I could tell you that you're like, okay, now I'm going to take that and I'm going to apply it. I think the thing which is undervalued is consistency. And the thing that I love about Logan Paul, for example, you know, I'm not a big, you know, I don't watch a lot of their videos and stuff. I love watching their interviews, though, because I think that they do have a pretty smart mind when it comes to creating viral content, like the Paul brothers, for example, on YouTube. Logan said, you know, I did YouTube from, you know, the early age, you know, like 14 or 13, whenever it came out. And I started making videos when I was 10. And nobody, legitimately nobody realized that until from 10 to 18, I only got to 4,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Like, I legitimately was making videos for 8 years and I had no traction whatsoever. But the great thing about it is in those 8 years, I learned so much about my craft. I learned so much about what worked, what didn't work, that the minute Vine came out, I jumped ship onto that. And that was a platform for me. And I blew up there for some reason. And then I was able to feed all of the things I learned on Vine back onto the YouTube, where I only had a following of about 4,000 subscribers over 8 years. So that makes me think, like, I think that's the biggest thing for virality is not only consistency, but I think it's also being unique and realizing that maybe the platform at that time is not ready for what you're trying to do with it, which, you know, go and look into other options, continuously adapt, hop from one platform to another, you know, you're going to make mistakes. Sometimes you're going to hop from a platform that became super huge, right? I remember Gary was talking about hopping away from YouTube initially and going to you now, but at the same time, like, I genuinely feel like if you don't adapt, you're going to be one of those archaic dinosaurs who dies with the platform, which many people on Vine did. You know, Logan Paul, Jake Paul, the one thing you can respect them for is jumping off that bandwagon at the right time and moving and really trying to funnel their audience to Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
So as you continue to, you know, at the ripe age of 20, continue to, you know, take your tech products and initiatives into, you know, new stratospheric levels, how are you continuing to focus on yourself and expand your leadership and expand your personal development? Do you see value in that? What's your focus in regards to that side of kind of the growth in your life?
Yeah, I mean, so right now, definitely don't get too much time to be able to do that. I definitely want to start doing a little more meditating. I do that on my own now in the morning. 10 minutes meditation really helps, in my opinion. I definitely, you know, play basketball 1 to 2 times per week. You know, I'm looking out for my health. I don't want to die when I'm 40 or something. and then I think the biggest thing for me is I actually am probably going to go back to school next year. And the reason why, and here's a school I really want to go to, which is I want to go to the New York Film Academy, or I want to go to Lee Strasberg, which is a method acting school. I have 1 year left in school, so I can take a 1 year convocation course, and that's super easy. But the reason I think why I want to go down maybe filmmaking, acting, screenwriting, and learn more about that is A, it serves as a great creative outlet for me. I'm really intrigued by method acting. I'm a huge Bollywood fan. I've been a Bollywood fan for like ages. I love watching movies. I'm a huge moviegoer. But I think the big thing about method acting that people don't see behind is even if you suck at acting, method acting will teach you more about yourself. Because method acting is taking your life's experiences, what you've learned, and pairing that with the character that you're given. So without, you know, knowing too much about yourself, you can't do it. You can't be a good method actor. So I think what you're talking about in terms of personal development, all of that, you know, I'm learning right now, but I'm really, really going to be learning about myself if I go into a school like that and I'm literally forced to have to embrace all my fears, all my struggles, all the things I'm embarrassed about and the past experiences that were good and put that together and try to pair that up with a character that I'm given.
Dude, that's awesome. And it's, I think, a very admirable thing to be humble enough to say that you've had the success you've had and to go, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to learn all the things about myself that kind of freak me out and scare me a little bit. Exactly. And the fact that you're committed to that, though, just shows your commitment to growth, which I really admire. And, you know, as you continue to journey down this path, I'm always intrigued on someone who's already achieved some great financial success. How important is money to you? Well, is that a focus of yours? Is it a leading indicator or reason why you do anything? Or is it, you know, further down the totem pole?
I think right now it's not too important. Like, honestly, like, I'm not saying that as a cliche thing. I think it is important. Obviously I need it. And like, it was the reason why I was able to move out to New York.
Right.
So it is a really great asset to have. It isn't the big focus for me because honestly, right now it's more about learning, moving really quickly, trying out new things. Even if I fail, I'm fine with that because I can move on to something else. I have about a 4 to 5 year window. And hopefully in my life, I actually think it's going to be a lot longer than that. I think I have a 15 to 20 year window now to be able to do whatever the fuck I want and to be able to try different things, meet different people, go into as many different industries as I want and make sure that throughout I'm staying very focused on whatever I'm doing. But at the same time, I'm learning. That being said, though, I think money is a great thing to count for score. You know, like I would love to be able to continuously beat my brother. You know, my brother, I know, is going to be making a shitload of money. He just graduated law school, top of his class. He is going to probably go into criminal prosecution, but he wants to jump ship to corporate soon. Like, I know that he's going to be really rich. And so I think it would be fun to have that internal competition between my family.
So you're keeping the competition alive with the brother.
Always. You know, now that we can't really compete because we're not in the same industry anymore.
Right.
We have to find some other way to compete. And I always kick his ass on the basketball court. So it's not even fun anymore. But
we'll have to make sure that he listens to this episode just so you can remind him that you always kick his ass on the court.
Yeah.
So not necessarily about money and not necessarily about, you know, creating that income. Is it because you already have it or would it be different if you didn't have it? Would you still be doing the same things that you're doing?
I think it would be. And, you know, it's not even like I have it to the same degree, right? Like, yeah, sure. I'm in a good position right now. Also, like, I know that if anything ever bad happens, like my parents will always 100% support me in whatever I do, which I'm blessed. And I also feel privileged to be able to say.
Yep.
But at the same time, I just think the way that I've situated my career is into a multi-hyphenate career, right? Which means, you know, even if my business doesn't work out, I have speaking, I have writing, I have the ability to work part-time for Trevor on his venture capital firm. I have any of those opportunities, maybe some opportunity in entertainment to do a personal branding deal off my following on LinkedIn, off Instagram, right? So I think I have other sources of income that I can bank on, which makes me feel comfortable in being able to go after situations that don't risk at all, but are like calculated risks that might, you know, lead to a catastrophic failure that I can bounce back within 2 to 3 months.
Yep. Makes total sense. I think that's the importance of having those safety nets, those different income streams, that's, you know, that savings behind you. It gives you the ability to not necessarily make emotional decisions and it allows you to really, you know, think logically and go into opportunities with an open mind and explore those without any external, you know, needs clouding judgment. So that's pretty awesome, man. I'm pretty stoked for you and really excited for what you got going on in the future. And it's always, you know, interesting to hear, being that I'm a millennial, you're a younger millennial. Are you still considered a millennial?
I think so. But I'm also considered under that like Gen Z group. Cause I'm like, not, so I don't know. Well, like I'm just saying, yeah, we're young. We're young.
Yeah. So, but I love to see where the mentality is because it, you know, our parents and our parents' parents, the generational, you know, polarity and difference between, you know, ours and theirs is pretty drastic. And it is interesting to see the eyes through, you know, a younger mentality. And so I'm always curious to know kind of, obviously your story is amazing and your drive is inspiring. And yet, you know, you're not necessarily chasing money, which it's always interesting to me because some people are all about it. And some people just, it's not the focus because they know that by being aligned with what they're doing, they're happy. And to them, that's success. So I always like to wrap up and ask the conversation of, you know, what does wealth mean to you? Everybody's got a different definition of it. Is it a specific number? Is it a certain amount of income coming in every month? Or is it something completely different? What does wealth mean to you?
Honestly, it's more of a lifestyle for me. I felt being quote unquote wealthy monetarily and being in a really shitty position. And I've also felt being kind of poor in the sense of like, you know, living off basic jobs, like going and doing the odd jobs and being in a great situation where I feel really empowered and passionate about what I'm doing. And I will choose the latter every single time. Like I really will. Like I don't care too much about how much money's in the bank account as opposed to what work am I doing to be able to put that money in the bank account. So at the same time, I think the definition for me about wealth is being able to do whatever I want, wherever I want, and with whomever I want. That's what being wealthy really to me means, is being able to do all three of those. Because if I'm able to align all three of them, I'm 100% confident I can find a way to make money off that.
Swish, it's been great getting to know you, brother. I'm super excited for all your endeavors and what you got going on. We'll be sure to link up all of the, you know, the handles and the websites and all that good stuff in the show notes, or if you're watching this on YouTube, in the show description. But if people want to follow what you're up to, check out, you know, the Instagram profiles or you personally, what's the best platform for them to connect with you on?
Yeah, so LinkedIn,
no surprise there.
No surprise, but my name, Manu Swish Goswami, LinkedIn, or at Go Swish, at GOSWISH. That is not narcissistic. It is my last name combined with my nickname, Swish. So Go Swish. But that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. Please do reach out, guys. You know, it's awesome that you guys are listening to podcasts like this. This was probably one of my favorite ones because I just thought the energy level that you brought out, Matt, like really made me go to a higher level. But at the same time, like, if you do want to reach out, please reach out because I answer almost every comment on LinkedIn and I do reach back on my DMs a lot on Instagram and I would love to talk.
Well, buddy, you are a class act and it is fun not only seeing the success you've had, but I'm really, really excited to follow and stay connected and just support you on hitting those milestones that you currently have on, you know, the radar right now. And I know as you continue to grow and expand and evolve, what you think is possible is not even on, you know, on the radar at the moment. So it's going to be fun to see what you accomplish over the next, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Hopefully we'll be 120 on some cool tech ventilator that's keeping us all alive and doing something wild together. But continue to, you know, inspire and be your best version of yourself, because you're definitely giving permission to a lot of other people, millennials in particular, to go out and chase the dreams that you're obviously actualizing and living out. So big kudos to you, brother. And I look forward to staying in contact.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Cheers, brother. Well, that does it for this interview with Swish. Dude's badass. Love hearing what he is up to. And from when we actually recorded this interview to now, I want you to go check out some of his social media profiles and what he's up to. He's getting 30 under 30, 20 under 20. The dude is a badass, and it's always fun following his journey and seeing what he's up to and some of the projects that he's working on, because success leaves clues. So if you want any of the references or things that he mentioned in the interview, those will be in the show notes. You can get those on the website. You can get them in the show description if you're watching this on YouTube, and also all of his, you know, handles and social media platforms if you want to connect with him. Those are in there as well. If you are not subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, this is where I will ask you to hit that subscribe button for weekly millionaire interviews, other interviews in wealth building, mindset, other tools, trainings, and tutorials for the modern day entrepreneur who's looking to create more income, impact, and influence. You're going to get that here on this channel. So feel free to subscribe, hit that like button, leave a comment below, let myself or Swish know one of your takeaways, or maybe if you've got a question, we will answer all of those questions on the channel as well. And with that being said, I think that wraps up this week. If you want to connect with me on social media more, I'm heavily active on Instagram and Facebook, also on Twitter. If you want to tweet me a question, something you want to be asked in one of the upcoming shows, a guest that you want to see me interview, the handle for all of those platforms is Official Matty A, M-A-T-T-Y-A, Official Matty A. And I look forward to connecting with you guys. Great guests coming up here. We're going to keep them coming. This year, we have had some amazing individuals come on to the show. We have some amazing ones in the queue, and we're raising the bar because we are getting some people that really aren't going on podcasts or are charging a lot of money. So with that being said, stay tuned, subscribe. I will see you guys on the next episode. But until then, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Peace. One of the biggest mistakes most entrepreneurs and small businesses make: not staying on top of their finances and accounting. Can you relate? Well, thanks to FreshBooks, this part of your business doesn't have to be a thorn in your side any longer. I think we can all agree, the working world has changed, and with the growth of the internet and today's new business landscape, more and more people are going into business for themselves, becoming small business owners and entrepreneurs. And FreshBooks is a premier accounting software that will simplify and organize all of these needs for you. FreshBooks and their all new version of their cloud accounting software has been redesigned from the ground up and custom built for entrepreneurs and business owners just like you and I. It's ridiculously easy to use, and it's also packed with powerful features that make it so you no longer need to be a CPA or a financial guru to stay on top of your numbers. Whether you want to create and send professional looking invoices in less than 30 seconds, set up online payments to get paid from your clients faster, tracking client invoices and accounting, the list goes on. FreshBooks has your name all over it. And the great thing is they're gracious enough to offer a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all my listeners. So go ahead and claim it. Just go to freshbooks.com/mindcast and enter Millionaire Mindcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section.